Welcome back to Deep Thoughts, ladies and gentlemen. So today we're going to talk about time travel again. Because this pops up every once in a while. And sometimes you just walk into the sort of the circuit of videos online. Or, you know, it was usually videos these days, right? And, you know, it's approached by a bunch of different metrics, right? So one of the listeners and a friend of mine on the side sent me a link, I should say, about a mysterious thing that actually happened on Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell in the 90s, and I missed it. It was crazy. I used to listen to that show all the time. At times, I have friends that listen to it a lot, and they'll get me back into it, you know. George Norrie's a little hard to hear, because he seems to just sort of massage whatever's being said on the show, as opposed to maybe busting some balls, which is what Art Bell started doing, and he got fired. I'm going to just say right off the bat a couple things. One, I'm pretty convinced that Coast to Coast AM is nothing more than a PSYOP training ground to see if operatives can convince an audience of something. Because the people that come on are polished charlatans. Now, you do get, again, that 58-year-old white male that is basically become nothing in life according to their own standards, not to someone else's standards necessarily, and they need something special. They need to be a UFO person or a time traveler or something, and so they have fun with it, right? It is my belief, I'm just going to tell you at the beginning, that time travel is not possible for a bunch of conceptual reasons. But I'm going to give you an explanation that will, I think, probably stick a little bit better to your gray matter than any other explanation I've ever heard about time travel, because usually you get one of two things. Someone who's selling time travel is selling something. Please listen to my radio show. Please watch my videos and like and subscribe and blah, blah, blah. I'm just going to tell you what you want to hear. What's interesting about it is I just made a chaos report over on the Rumble and all the other video options when you go to deepthoughtsradio.com. And I'm warning everyone that the biggest problem that you have right now is that, one, you're good at what you do, and what you're doing is you're hoping, in some cases, that people tell you what you want to hear. Now, under really rare circumstances, you've been shot by a gun and someone comes up, you'll be all right, you'll be all right. Well, you know, might as well tell you that. It's going to be between you and God pretty soon if it doesn't work out. So no one needs to be a jerk is what I'm saying there. But when you need to take action to become, either evolve into the best version of yourself, which is don't fill yourself with lies, because that's all you're going to be good at. You can build up cognitive dissonance by constantly allowing in magic. And there are plenty of categories of this that attack man on a daily basis. Religion, these fun theories of time travel, and it's one way to, there is a way to think about contemplating a concept that may or may not exist without affecting your mind in a permanent way. So we're going to talk about this John Titor, T-I-T-O-R, should be in the title. I actually just misspoke. I believe I just watched a video today that actually had the original date off. They're saying that, the way I heard it was that in the mid-90s, mid to late 90s, that Art Bell had someone on that was covering time travel. He offered it to his audience. Hey, you know, if anyone out there is a time traveler, feel free to chime in. And so fax messages start coming into the station. And what blows my mind is that the most trite, ridiculous, lowbrow, I think just outright idiotic shit was coming through these faxes. And someone bid it internally as a producer. Usually when that happens, it's because there's nothing else good coming through. It's like, well, this is the thing with the most teeth in it. Puts it out there. And it was as if to bite on the John Titor thing, I mean, every category of everything that is involved with the John Titor conspiracy or whatever, the story or whatever, you have to be an absolute neophyte and a moron in every single area of everything that these text messages / posts online, fax messages have to, are attempting to address. from Y2K to an IBM 5100 to time travel itself to the fabric of the universe to what is required to even remotely conceive of the idea of time travel. To think that this thing ever gained any teeth is mind-blowing. I mean, it is the worst one I've ever seen. But yet, people bite on it, right? Now, I will say, there's two groups of people that actually confessed to this particular conspiracy. And, you know, we're not going to heavily get into that because I don't want to go off into the John Titor thing. But one of them is a series of brothers that have the background and sort of the history of this kind of thing. So that's who I pretty much think was actually pulling this thing off. And kudos to them for ever convincing anybody this stuff was great. I mean, you know, whatever. It's sort of a lesson in how gullible people are. And hopefully the gullible look back in the mirror and go, shit, man, I don't even know why I believe that, you know. But this guy says he's a time traveler from 2036. That he has a machine that was built by General Electric. Ha, so funny. Yeah, how close we are to this point, right? And that it has two captured singularities inside this thing that pretty much looks like a gigantic Ghostbuster machine that, you know, grabs the ghost. Seriously, it was like, you know, a little bit bigger than a bread box, but, you know, about 2.5 feet long and then just maybe 10 inches square cube. And the reason why I can tell you that's what the machine looked like is that eventually, down the line, he eventually started posting photographs of it. The second I see this thing, I'm thinking, that's a Hollywood prop person. That is like a Hollywood prop person that would build a Ghostbuster, you know, ectoplasm grabber. And sure enough, when these brothers were interviewed, they said, yeah, I had a buddy of mine build it. He builds Hollywood props. I'm like, this is great. I mean, it's just so painfully obvious when you see it had hazard tape around it, you know. But again, singularity is being captured in a box, not only one, but two. Again, anybody who believes this has no knowledge of even the most ridiculous science of phenomenon gravity or what a black hole is. He talked about CERN because it's interesting to mention, you know, fancy people's names and fancy organizations. I mentioned Einstein. That means I know what I'm talking about, right? You know, CERN, you know. Well, CERN's been around for a long time. The CERN Hadron Collider was definitely probably in the blueprints, but I doubt this person or the persons participating in this knew that that was fully disclosed. Or I don't even know if it was disclosed, but there's particle accelerators all around the place. The very theory that this person submits, and it's a very condescending, I'm from the future and you don't understand and da da da. And it's really, it's brilliantly Hollywood. It's not brilliantly realistic by anyone's standards. And now we know, being in 2022, that if you just advance 14 years ahead, the intellectual capacity of an individual is going to be demonstratively lower. We're going to be stupider, and probably most of the population will be gone, which is the only thing that was sort of suggested that I think is a little ironic here. And again, if you're a PSYOP training ground for folks, you can bring in predictive programming because you're sort of Alex Huxley, and you either study the information from your brother who was inside these organizations, or you simply just keep your ears open like John Carpenter, who could make the movie They Live in 89 or something, right? John Titor made all of these predictions, and none of them remotely came true. You know, civil wars by the mid-first decade of the 21st century, then a nuclear war that only lasted a few hours and by 2015. And of course, you know, idiots will sit there, oh, well, that's because he went to a different time zone and we're in a different thing. And, he, you know, his predictions were coming from a different one. It's like, no. You're just listening to bullshit, okay? Just stop trying to push bullshit inside your brain because you're going to get really good at that shit, right? I'll just give an example of a funny joke I just thought of today. Joe Biden is up for, he wants to be awarded a Nobel Prize, right? super mega pedophile who fucked everybody in his family, all of his kids and all of his grandkids, right, wants a Nobel Prize. And I think we should give him a Nobel Prize because in just 2 years, he proved that America is just built out of a bunch of concentrated pussies, right, who will just be told to destroy their country. And they're like, okay, hey, and that election that was completely ripped off, it wasn't, well, and here you go. And that's the Nobel Prize that Biden should get. Plus, he doesn't know where the fuck he is, can't complete a sentence, and nobody kicks him out of the most important office that a human being in this country should be highly qualified to possess, right? So that's where feeding yourself a bunch of this crap, whether it be through some sugar-coated coast-to-coast bullshit thing where you kind of know it's entertainment, but you still train your brain to take it in. That's why we have to change the way we view some of this stuff and, you know, just kind of say, hey, we'll get back to entertainment, folks, once we fix the country, once we fix the world, once we're not headed into a double depression where a bunch of people are going to die, okay? Go ask Russia, who lost tens of millions of people from their population in the 90s. The devastation of poverty wasn't even reported in the press. The funny thing about this is that you're talking about a scam put together by, I believe, the brothers in Florida. I think that's where they were from. And again, I have all the respect for putting together a funny little scam that was intended to be entertainment. It's the public that took it way too far, which is why they had the integrity to come out and say, no, it was us, okay? If the voice changed when we were posting, it's because one of us was, you know, taking the post that night. Things a Hollywood prop. None of this is real. Pull out of your coma, right? But they know that they just need to push the envelope of concepts that have kind of hovered around time travel. Electromagnetic fields. Black holes. I mean, great. You go get a black hole and nobody knows how these things are created. Nobody knows what they really are. So once you introduce that element, 99.9% of the entire world population simply just goes, poof, okay, it's real, because you just blew my mind, right? So if you want to make the smallest black hole, go get a sun, aka star, that is four times the size of the one that we use in our solar system, okay? Let it go through its full metabolism and collapse down into this black hole thing. It's never going to actually do that because gravity doesn't work that way. But let's just go with the stupid theory. That's the smallest one you could possibly make, has to have a star that's four times as big as ours. And this box has two of them inside of it. I mean, people are just so fucking stupid, right? It just blows my mind. And then he has to take the thing and put it in a car. This is stealing from, like, the movie Explorers. You put it in the door of a car. And then you gotta roll up the windows. And you have to bring your own oxygen, because it's gonna run out of oxygen inside. He said he turned his box on, which is kind of pre-programmed to go in the future. Can't go too far in the future. Can't go too far in the past, right? Because the box would take too long. It doesn't instantaneously work, by the way. It takes minutes and minutes to go back a certain number of years. I thought that was a nice touch. He said that you can't keep the windows down because it gets so hot outside because the vehicle's being pushed through time. Like the DeLorean, man. Huh, hilarious, right? I forgot the car model, but it's just like some, you know, generally kind of Dodge Charger-y kind of thing. You say when it's on, you get pulled towards the machine. Up to 2 G's, you get pulled near the machine. Okay, why would that just suddenly start? You have two black holes, which means you've got, within range, two stars that are four times as big as ours in a box right next to you. And somehow the whole world doesn't just go poof right into that thing. And supposedly just spinning protons at a CERN Hadron Collider somehow creates a singularity. You know, it's sort of like the idea that of Doctor Strange, you know, you can just wave your hand in a circle and then something happens in the middle. That's about as related as those two theories are of spinning things in some giant Hadron Collider. Now, most of the people reporting this also report that the Higgs boson particle was actually a real thing. Complete fakery, complete bullshit. Go see my episode on the CERN Hadron Collider, which I will do another one for you at some point. Someone asked him, you know, how far back have you gone, you know? Can you go back like 1,000 years? The response back was, again, one of these, are you fucking kidding me, stupid responses. Well, you know what? If you went back 1,000 years, you wouldn't even recognize what the reality looked like back then, you know? Oh, thanks, Professor. Oh, boy. Yeah, totally. Can't conceive of 1,000 years ago. Well, we can look at the pyramids that are built 35,000 BC and we're fine. It's just like, it's just a way to evade. And that's what these people do. And, you know, hey, it's tough to answer all the questions, right? The one interesting thing they said was that if you go back in time and you stop the machine and then you go forward, you've actually spliced off time and taken a linear line of the one you were on, and you create a little fork in the road, like if you're in a code repository system like GitHub, and you branch the code. And so they can go back, apparently, to the one that they were in, and you're living in the new one they created. Sounds a little dangerous. Or irresponsible, I should say. What's interesting is this whole thing drops in 2000 really hard, where he starts posting online. And he can't even predict 9/11. Huh, hilarious, right? Can't predict a war in the Middle East. In the last 20 years, it cost $7 trillion. This dude predicts nothing, okay? Now, what he ends up doing is, because these are like computer geeks, and the Y2K thing, which as a developer in the year 2099 and going back 15 years before that, is one of the, it was always a bunch of bullshit, okay? The variables that hold time inside a computer, the ones that were, you know, so screwed up that they were not going to be able to hold the year 2000 were just a handful of programs. It took 2 seconds, if that, to just change the variable type, recompile, redeploy, and it was all fixed. It was not an issue at any point in time in history. So this dude threatens the fact that Unix operating system, this just gets hilarious, man. The Unix operating system counts off all the seconds from January 1st, 1970, when they kind of launched the internet as a private sector educational system, when the government offloaded the whole thing onto educational systems. They offloaded on educational systems because there's always a university next to a military base, so they basically made us pay for their thing. But the integer variable that is used in Unix, although very large, we'll have a problem when you count up all the seconds from January 1st, 1970, all the way up to like whatever, 2020, 35 or something, right? 34, whatever it is. You could pop that variable. Again, how do you fix it? You go into the source code. Where the variable has been defined as an integer, you simply change it to a long integer, and all of a sudden now you can get 220,000 years in the future. No problem. That won't be a problem either. So the dude hatches this theory that he's come back to get this old IBM computer from 1975 so that he can debug the code of this Unix Y2K thing in the year 20, whatever it is, 35, whatever. That is the most fucking ignorant, stupid thing I've ever heard in my life. All code is are text files that are written in text. You can change it with any text editor, including Notepad on the Windows, and what is it, text editor, whatever, on the Mac. You could edit on your telephone, okay? Change the variable over, hit save, make your compiler roll out, make your file system distribute the file out to the operating system. Done. Done deal. All computer systems today are all updated remotely, regardless if it's a local remote system or Apple, Windows, iPhone, Android, it all updates. It's not going to be an issue. And the fact that you would have to go back to get an old ancient computer to modify a text file is hilarious because it has this other little language inside of it. Completely irrelevant that this old IBM, I think it's 5100, has this little this other language embedded, but the manufacturers didn't want you to know. And it's a thing that the guys of that generation in the 90s knew this little secret, and were using that to try and blow people's minds who don't code and are simply consumers, right? Eventually, the whole thing spirals down to this sort of ending. He made a relationship. He formed a relationship with a ton of folks. One of them was a female. again, this fictitious he, which is probably the brothers. And he said, look, if I come back, I'm going to mail you, if I need to contact you again, I'll mail you a message or some sort of file repository thing. And the decryption methodology is not one of decryption. It's one of intellectual sort of private key, which is he's told this person a song, and that this message will actually have the song written on it such that that person knows, only this person knows that song. Well, there's a lot of songs in the universe, so it's not a bad little technique. Message has never arrived, never heard anything from that person again. And again, the people who pulled it off, in my opinion, have come out to admit what they did. Another guy in a different circle said he was the attorney for the John Teeter family. That dude goes off and registers an LLC, produces a book, and all this other stuff, pretending to be this guy's legal representation, understanding that if the person doesn't exist, and as long as you're not creating any type of criminal activity or harm through malice, you're actually going to be okay. You're just coming up with Ronald McDonald LLC and telling the world that this person's real. All right. Well, that's cool. Right. You're a little opportunist. Again, they're all over the place. Isn't it funny how the scum just flows right on the same level here, right? But let's get to time travel, because that's where we could start parsing this thing. I'm going to warn you. You need to psychologically prepare yourself. The path of most integrity. The path of most integrity sounds like this. You will not lie to yourself. No matter how much it disappoints you, you won't lie to yourself. At least on this level, because you can do grave damage to your psyche, to your mind. Remember, you're a soul, but you still got to take care of the body. And so if you train a little chemicals inside this little vessel we've got here, the operating system can get pretty screwed up. So when the user up above is trying to use the program down below, it's not going to do what you say. And this is all subliminal, right? This is all very, very subdermal to your consciousness, which is why you can't afford, especially at this juncture, when we're going to give Joe Biden a Nobel Prize for identifying how absolutely idiotic the United States of America is right now. Even the people that think they got all the truth and where we go, when we go, well, and all this, they're still just sitting around waiting for Santa Claus to show up. So we don't need to be in that 99.9%. We want to be in whatever the floater is that's after that, right? The mod of it all, right? So what would time travel really be? What are we saying when we say we're going to travel in time? Well, we're saying that the state of all things in the universe right now, I mean, we call it the matrix if you want. Again, if we're in a matrix in a computer, time travel still probably isn't possible, and we'll explain why. It might be available in very coarse manner, but it wouldn't be available in its ultimate manner. But we'll save that to the end. Well, why do we believe time exists? We believe time exists because we have been afforded a mechanism at the constant now moment to remember previous states, partial impressions of the previous state of our life. Why do I say partial? Because none of us have an absolute memory of the past. We simply don't. One, we only know about our sphere of sight and senses. So we don't know what's going on the other side of the world, let alone if there is space way out there on another planet, we wouldn't know. As a baby, you don't know how many craters are on the surface of the moon, yet you could look at it as a child. Partial memories of the past give you the sense that time is a real tangible thing. What time is, obviously, now that we think about it, it is a conceptual mechanism for us to manage our existence. There's a lot of theories that man back in the past had no linear time thinking at all. There was only the now. There was maybe a memory of the past, because you have to remember who your parents are when you're a child, otherwise you die. You have to remember where harm is so that you don't get eaten up. And then we think we actually know about instincts, which might actually be traveling in the soul and not in genetics. But, you know, elephants know where water holes are that previous generations had visited and that the current generation has not visited. We think that birds know how to do the little funky dances to get some sex, right? Because it's in their genetics. might travel in the soul, might travel in the genes. Doesn't really matter. We're going to talk about it. So what we're saying is we've taken a concept that we can conceptualize in our head, and we're saying it physically exists somewhere. That the past exists somewhere. Well, what would that require? I mean, let's think about it for a split second. What we are saying is that every single thing that has ever happened, all the way back as far as everything's existed, and if this is an infinite existence model, not a beginning, middle, and end, like human beings have to quantify because they can't conceive of infinity, then every single discernible notion of change, meaning you take the smallest packet of energy that is out there theoretically, you don't even have to even know how big that is or how small that is or how fast it operates, but to the degree that that packet has a quantifiable moment where it pops to the next state of being, it's in unit A and it moves to unit B. However fast that occurs at the smallest possible conceivable moment of your fake time crap, the universe is going to have to index its entire existence to that degree. So every single thing that exists is going to have to be stored in a hard drive. Let's just metaphorically say every single time. Every version of the software is going to be when one packet somewhere in the universe changed. It's so absolute that only if only one packet in the entire universe changed, that's going to have to be stored somewhere. Now, let's just take a second to think about how big that hard drive would be. And how is that even going to happen? I mean, I got an apple and I move it in my hand. Do I get infinite number of apples between the first one and the second one? No, I still have just the one apple. Why would it spawn more apples simply because the apple changed its position in the universe? You don't doubt that does not occur. But in order to have a fabric of the universe, in order to traverse time, not only do you have to save everything that's ever happened, but theoretically speaking, if you want to go forward in time, that means that everything that could possibly happen is predetermined. But as some little, you know, theoretical paperwork suggests in quantum mechanics, that everything that could happen has already happened, both in the future and the past and the present. Talk about a conceptual bunch of bullshit, okay? I've suggested to you a theory of a model sort of like that, but to more describe the soul's interaction with all things. Because if all the information in the universe is being duplicated and saved, everything gets duplicated so that the next moment of the packet's existence, aka state and position in the universe, is being duplicated, so we can save the previous one, so you can go walk backwards to get there, like a path, then what are you? How do you have consciousness? How would you have consciousness if a copy of you is always left behind, infinitely frozen in carbonite, right? We're all Han Solo in those other realms. We're just paused. But don't you feel like you have fluidity in your existence? Don't you feel like you're having a growing maturation script in your life, or you mature over time? Don't you feel like that? We're not frozen. Well, the example I've tried to explain on the show a long time ago, and especially when I address time in general, is that the only theory I could ever come up with is that your soul, if this matrix were to exist, and there is a way it can exist without getting absolutely absurd, but it still gets absurd when you're talking about how and why this would even occur in the first place. But your soul is traversing through these sort of frames in a ViewMaster, right? And it's always a choose-your-own-adventure. Meaning you go into a certain frame of the next moment of existence, having chosen which direction and vector you're going in, right? And then you're presented with new facts, you make another choice, and you probably have sort of a rolling choice, right? You have a rolling, well, I'm going this way. And again, if this is being quantified at the level of a packet change in the universe, you're going to experience, you know, it's like turning the Titanic around. So if you want to change your mind, according to the universe, you took an infinite eternity just to make a tiny decision, because there's so many versions of the universe all stacked up in slideshow somewhere, right? But a lot of time travel stuff, it spawns out of these weird little gimmick games that they play. Especially Einstein's whole thing turned into a gimmick. And it was relative perception of time, which is a completely different thing than time travel. And one of the best examples was in a quantum physics book I got a long time ago. And this writer died in a mountain climbing accident. But he said, you know, what if you were to be in space and you were standing next to a being that's laying down in space, except that being is a couple light years long. And so they say, okay, turn and look at the toe. The face is talking to you. So you look at the toe. He says, and when I count down from 3 to 1, at 0, I'm going to move my toes. And so you look down there and he goes, 3, 2, 1, and then you don't see the toes move. Because it's going to take a couple of years, for the light to get from that toe, theoretically with their science, to your eyeballs. But it actually did move a long time ago. The theory there is that, you know, when you see a jet, we just had an air show here, when you see a jet fly by and then you hear the sound a little bit after the jet goes by, somehow you've time traveled? No, it's just a relative perception problem. It's nothing to do with actually traveling through time. Now, what was interesting was that the Teeter group, they understood there were some fundamental problems with saying that you travel through time. One of them being that the official explanation of the universe is that everything's traveling through space, right? It's all flying around. So if you start changing when you are, you're going to be in the middle of space. So what the guy was trying to, he came up with this funny thing, I forgot, it was called like some gravity lock mechanism where the machine periodically would check to see if it's still on Earth. And it would periodically check to see if a building was built where you are such that it could move you out of the way. Now again, go back to our theory of if you're going to save somehow in some fabric of space-time hard drive out there, every single state of existence down to the smallest packet change, you can't periodically check whether or not you're anywhere. You would have to quantifiably check every single time that the smallest change in the universe occurs so that you never lose the Earth. And by the way, it's always going to move if the theory is correct. So it's always going to have to move you every single split packet change that happens in the universe. The whole theory falls apart. Now, I said it would be rough if you were in a matrix, because the matrix idea, and you know, we don't know what computers could be like in the future. Maybe this is no big deal. But let's say we're inside a computer like Moriarty inside the holodeck in Next Generation, which I just realized that actor was in Red October. Anyhow, so they do have a lot of storage available. And you know what? The universe doesn't really exist and space doesn't exist. So the amount that they have to actually store is a lot less than you think. And by the way, most of these people are just fake NPCs. So there's only a few of us who can hear each other that are actually real. So it even cuts it down even further. In fact, we paid for this service just like Westworld. That helps out a little bit. The movie The Matrix did it with Neo stuck inside a little battery generator farm. Okay. He's kind of living in the now. He never really travel through time. At that point, we don't have to worry about this tiniest packet of change in the state of the computer. We don't. Many of you have played video games where even without your knowledge, it's recording the game. And so when it's over, you can push a button and watch the game go back. Clash of Clans, a little tiny mobile game, has had the replay button for a long time. That's just because the computer is creating this big binary blob in the background of where everything went. It's pretty brilliant. So they could lighten the load of what moment to moment means. In fact, they could probably get down to a few milliseconds and we wouldn't know the difference. And you might want to debate for a split second the notion of, well, is the universe made of particles, like mass particles, or is it made out of vibrations? There might be a slightly different physical mechanism to describe everything we've described in this episode and time travel itself if you start changing the absolute fabric of what existence is. If a human being can remember their past, is that all you need to go back in the past? I would wager, in a way, yes. Can't you remember some great moments when you were younger? Which is the mechanism that drives the fantasy and the desire to believe in time travel in the first place, if you had a good childhood. Some people have shitty childhoods and they're blacked out. When they try to think backwards, it's just blackness because they can't allow it forward. But if you got a good one and you want to go backwards, like many Twilight Zones have. And what if this is a consensus reality? So the idea is, how do you go back and account for your partial memory of the past and access the master record of the code repository, the time machine in OS 10, which is just a big CVS from the old days. Where now you're walking out of any realm where there would be a machine made by General Electric that could send you back in time. Now you're going off into another cosmology, basically saying that the physical realm may not be it. There's a frequency cosmology on top of the physical cosmology, which is simply to say, if certain vibrations work together and harmonize, this consciousness, which is on another cosmology, your soul, will start perceiving that vibration as hair, a shirt, a cigar, whatever. It starts to get really messy, and it's usually beyond most of our abilities to communicate across a room without starting to write down some of the operating principles of what we're talking about here, right? What's interesting about the notion of time travel as it is applied to the now is that the subtextual value proposition that is being offered to man is to appreciate right now. It is also to teach man there is only now. So if you don't like now, remember all those Nobel Prizes going to Biden. If you don't like now, you better make now better. And that's going to require you get out the sofa, you put down your cell phone, whatever it takes to go get that change to make now amazing. Because we all have those moments in the past. And I don't care how bad your childhood was. There's a point when you ate your first Rocky Road ice cream, or you had one relative that was really nice to you, or you had that best friend when you lived in that house for that month that was just great. Well, when you have to start paying your taxes and pay all your bills and have to worry about whether or not they're going to crash the economy. But when you were a kid, you didn't have to worry about that. Even if the selection of food wasn't awesome because you were in some recession when you were a kid. We tend to get lazy the more that we can adopt the ideas that there are methods of going either back in time or you go to the savior realm, which is some conceivable decade, century, millennia in the future. Where it is Gene Roddenberry's Star Trek? Let me just skip all this crap because I deserve the future. I won't do anything to make it happen. And when I get there, I won't even understand how they got there. Oh, I'll just go to history classes and I'll completely appreciate it, right? Mm-mm. Now, there are concepts that I've talked about on this show which relate to time warping. And what is time in terms of the physical state change? Because we talked about the fact, the fundamental argument in this conversation is because we can remember state changes in the universe, aka our history, our childhood, whatever, that we have this perception of time, and of course we use these things to schedule our future. Again, there's a lot of evidence. I believe Marshall McLuhan was a guy that studied it heavily, that they believe that phonetic languages, where you sound things out with letters, was the first time the man proved it had a linear brain. But as things were iconic, every word meant, every symbol meant a word. That's where you have a nonlinear thinking, thus a lower IQ culture that can be destroyed by someone who can create strategy in war, which is planning ahead. A pincer maneuver requires a linear thought process. Someone who's thinking in icons, I can merely just brute force pound you in the head. But I would even wager a minute amount of that still has linear thought, because they can see a punch coming. They can see a battle axe coming at their head, and that's a time situation. Oh my God, look at that gesture. That's going to hit me in the head. I better move out of the way. That's linear. But when I talk about UFOs, I'll talk about the fact that there has been suggestions. Could be all bullshit, but there's suggestions that if you get around gravity wells, the time seems to do a stranger thing. You could actually have less time travel going inside of a UFO, or more time. I mean, you go inside and you come out and they're like, where the hell have you been? To you, it was only like 3 minutes. To everyone else, it was 8 hours. They thought they lost you inside there. Now, the absurdity of that is that they could still look inside and probably see your body just frozen. You would just simply be metabolizing things differently. But I told you about the atomic clock experiments that they've done with towers, right? Put a clock at the top, put a clock at the bottom. Let it spin around on the surface of the Earth for a year. And it's atomic clock, right? So it's emitting emissions from an isotope. And they can count how many of those emissions have occurred and prove the clock down towards the surface of the Earth was a little bit ahead of the one that was at the top of the tower. That's mechanical. Now imagine that we thought of time in this universe as one big unified force. It's one big mechanism that is pumping, say, air through a fan at an exact PSI, right? Pressure per square inch, right? Pounds per square inch. That's how we think about the entire universe before you start studying other factors that are involved. The clock at the top of the tower has less gravity on it, technically speaking. The push at the top of the tower is less than the merging of all of the pushes at the bottom on the bottom clock. So the isotopes left, or the emissions left the isotope in the clock down below faster because it is being hit more by this force of gravity. Okay? Not the pull kind, but the push kind. The one at the top is not being hit as much because if you just vector everything down into a sphere from an outer push on a bubble, the one at the top is not going to get as just slightly less push, which is going to activate the emissions a little bit less. So when you have something that's disturbing the density, okay, of either a liquid or a gas, okay, just to make it easy for you, right? You know, when you're flying in the jet and it drops into an air pocket, you know you just hit a spot where there's a deprivation of oxygen to create lift on the wings. And so it slices through that so quickly, you don't fall out of the sky. But for a while there, those wings don't have any pull on them. And it's fast. I mean, you know, when you fall through that, I don't know generally how big those things are, but if you're traveling 550, 600 miles an hour, which is necessary to get through those things without any issue, you survive because you cut through the bubble. But that isn't necessarily anything related to time travel. I mean, I heard a funny line the other day, which is, we're all time travelers. We're traveling through time right now. Still not true, because time doesn't exist, except in a concept in our mind, right? For time travel to exist, we have to have the celestial hard drive. You just do. Whether it be in a matrix computer like Neo was living in, or some other cosmology that can line it all up. Or it's a solid state infinite thing, this infinite matrix of all the possibilities, where it's in a cube made of little moments. The three-dimensional cube represents three-dimensional space. And that cube would have to be infinitely divisible down to the smallest possible unit of change. And then you are simply a soul falling through that cube, hopefully picking the best second, the best moment next. You can't just jump to the moon in your next moment. Because one, that's a physical impossibility based on the proximity that you're on Earth standing on your feet and the moon's up there. And in order just to be there in the next second, there's no path that's just, it's not there in any next of kin packet that you might be choosing in the adventure. You could choose to build a vehicle. You could choose to do something to get there, but you're going to walk all those steps over to that moon eventuality. Now, there have been suggestions that teleportation is something that has occurred in laboratories in the United States. And I need to preface this with that is probably nothing more than a psyop to scare the other countries, especially the big players like Russia. I mean, you just float a story where you even tell people that this occurred and they believe the people telling them. And so in a lie detector test, they don't feel nervous, they don't act strange, and so they're tested to see if that's real. And as long as the person asking the question forgets to ask, were you actually there, then this will come off as being true. Bending the fabric of the universe to move an object from point A to point B, again, that's a parlor trick of playing with the fabric of the universe and not necessarily at all affecting time. But the teleportation experiments that have been rumored to exist, I mentioned one a long time ago, I don't remember what episode it was, but it was a gentleman who said that in the mid-50s, he had actually wandered into a room where he was just trying to get a signature for some report, PO, something that was coming into the base, this Los Alamos Labs kind of place. And he accidentally was allowed into a room just before an experiment was being conducted for some staff of the military, some staff of the intelligence agencies, and then a glass ashtray was inside some plexiglass. I got the impression it was like a 5x5 plexiglass box. As soon as he got in there, people didn't notice. They should have kicked him out, is the story. And they said, okay, everyone be quiet, lower the lights or whatever. And they hit this thing, and it appeared in the room next door. In order for it to be a time travel assertion, and there again, there are parlor tricks to probably give it the sense that it actually traveled in the future, let's just say, because there's two ways you run that experiment. I believe the one I just mentioned, it was instantaneously in the other room. The dude who wrote the novels Dune, D-U-N-E, he talked about folding space, you know, that the spice allowed those worm dudes to fold space. And then there's some interesting concepts with that you could actually take, again, the sheet on your bed and grab one side of the sheet and the other side of the sheet, and you could touch them together, and you would actually have something could walk across. You know, atoms actually do travel between those two points, no matter how you think they don't. And they didn't travel the distance in between, which they would normally have to travel across the entire bed to get to that point. So it's theoretically imaginable that you could, for short distances, potentially instantaneously warp the fabric that we're using to exist. It could be just a big bed of ethereal particles, and thus you can create this teleportation between two places. Keeping the ashtray completely intact, especially an ashtray, I mean, that's a big object when you're talking about encapsulating all of the mass that would be creating that ashtray. And then moving it to the other side, not disturbing a stream of energy that is actually creating it, right? So you could be just throwing glass in everybody's face in the other room, and plexiglass ain't gonna stop nothing, right? But there's been all kinds of claims about scientists who build machines, and they take like a nut or a bolt, a really small thing. It's much easier to believe that scenario. And they create these electromagnetic tunnels, like an Einstein-Rosenbridge theory. And you could suck it through this sort of temporary fold in space, or, again, tunnel in space, and get it to go from point A to point B, such that it took such a long trip that it shows up in the future. Okay? And it didn't really travel into the future. It simply became unavailable to your state of being as it's taking this super long journey. So if you want to create that illusion, you're creating probably the worst path possible for this to occur, because it would be like, hey, I could just take the little alleyway to get across from one street to the other. But no, I'm going to go all the way around town and then I'll come back to the same street. All the scientists are walking the alleyway going, where to go? I don't know, man. And you get to the other side of the alley and here it comes, just because it took a really long path. But let me throw this at you as well. Time travel. Traveling through time. You have some sort of device that supposedly can pull this off. You have a universe that you exist in. Then you have a universe you want to go to. It's balanced, isn't it? Isn't the code pretty good where we are? Like I always say, you don't turn into a piece of broccoli and then turn it back into yourself. the world doesn't turn into a purple ball of fire and then go back to the world. The code's pretty tight. And I'm willing to bet, it's just my speculation, that in order to keep the code running great, you don't throw a monkey wrench into it. You don't go and hack memory in the video game and expect it to continue running properly or something not to be screwed up in the game. Nope, you got to keep things absolutely precise and pristine. So let's say you want to travel from your bedroom that you're in right now to your same bedroom, and you know it's not going to change the furniture or anything. You should be good. And you want to just go back a few minutes. Let's just keep it simple, right? Man, nobody walked through the room. I didn't get up. The cat didn't jump up somewhere where if I go in the past or something, I'm not going to end up with a cat inside me, right? Like the Philadelphia experiment. By the way, I said the wrong thing last episode. It was I was mentioning Richard Feynman, the Chaos episode, and I said Philadelphia experiment. I meant to say the Manhattan Project. I do apologize. I also said Earth, rotating around Earth the other day. Ugh, so many facts to keep right. So you occupy a certain amount of space, and you are consuming a certain amount of the energy of the universe. I think it's ethereal currents, but I don't give a crap if you think it's Halloween candy. If you go in the past and you want to be in that spot, well, you're already in that spot. So what you gonna do? And this Teeter guy talked about how often you meet yourself and how you take yourself on little rides in the future. When asked, hey, you know, why aren't there more time travelers, right? The dudes came up with a very clever response. They said, you know, for the same reason that you don't help someone on the side of the highway, because there could be a scam. Someone's pretending to be injured. They got someone off to the side with a gun, a baseball bat, and you go to help somebody out and they conk you on the head and steal all your stuff. Because people are like that, time travelers don't announce themselves to the public because you could bump into a crazy person. Almost assuredly in 2022. But at least they can look for people wearing masks and they can at least avoid them. That should help slim down the problems there. But what's going to happen? What's going to happen if you're already there? Well, you can't go back to that same spot, can you? You're going to have to go, let's say you're sitting in a chair at a desk in your bedroom and there's plenty of space and you're thinking, well, okay, I'll move myself over to the bed or I'll go back a few minutes before I sat in the chair. We'll get rid of that problem. You still have this cubic volume of which your body possesses. And believe it or not, okay, the stuff that keeps you alive is not only flowing through you like a waterfall, it's flowing through the chair as well. It's flowing through the ground. It's flowing into the oxygen in the room. It's flowing through the roof over your head. You are a fluid thing. You are not some solid state thing. Especially if you believe in frequencies, it's even worse in that model. So how do you just get yourself from one time to another without completely screwing up the flow of everything? Even if you could just say, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to teleport all of the oxygen molecules, everything that is in the space of my existence, and I'm going to take that and move it to the future. I'll take myself and move it to the past. Okay, well, first of all, you got to come up with a little Alaska pipeline to figure out the two-way Ethernet to bring that down, right? Hopefully got enough bandwidth to pull us all off in a split second. But what would be the chronology? Have you ever been in a situation on your operating system where you got a file that you named the wrong name? But the file name it needs to be is actually already possessed by another file in the directory that you also have to keep. And so you know you have to do this. You take the one that you have to keep and you give it a temporary suffix. Then you take the one that you need to move into that spot and you get rid of the mistake that you made so it's where the other file is. And then you take the temporary suffix off the old file so it's something new. Pain in the ass, man. Anyone who's ever had to renumber code back in the basic days was really appreciative if the operating system had a renum command to do all this stuff for you. These are just the basic mechanics of whatever concept of time travel you could conceive of. It doesn't matter if you think God's going to give it to you. God's going to have to do that little operating system, musical chairs. But now, wait a minute. Haven't you ever been playing a song in an MP3 player of your choice with the playhead? And either something happens wrong with the encoding, so you're missing frames, Or you just take the playhead and you jack it, like, you know, 30 minutes ahead, and all of a sudden, the song was really cool jazz, and all of a sudden you're in the middle of like a Dixie band solo, and it's so loud in your head, right? Well, that's what's going to happen, even if you could pull this thing off, with all of the energy that's flowing through this little spot where you used to be, and the one that you're going to be consuming. So imagine you throw off the entire balance of all the code, and now the chair that you were going to be sitting on doesn't have the proper flow of energy to it, because it was all balanced with you walking in the room and sitting down. The whole universe keeps the harmonic of all things that exist completely in balance constantly, and all of a sudden you just yank all the air out of the trumpet and you put in some gigantic solo instead of a nice little jazz ballad, and all of a sudden everyone's ears are blown out on the PA system that was adjusted for the low volume, quiet jazz moment, right? Now, I want you to think about where we've gone in this conversation, just messing around, and think about all the people that just throw around the fact that time travel is possible. Think about whether or not anyone who's ever told you time travel is possible has even remotely touched the fabric of what we're talking about. The accountability that is required to create this entire mechanism in the first place. The answer is usually no. These people don't talk about anything. They just want to believe in magic. And again, for entertainment purposes, great. You know, what I think is interesting is that a lot of these scams seem to just be spur-of-the-moment situations. Who knew that Art Bell was going to create an episode that night where they're going to open up the phones to time travel? So the guy puts a bunch of super vague stuff out there. Then they kind of powwow. Oh my God, our stuff got read on the air. Okay, let's stop what we're doing and think this thing through just a little bit more. Not much. These people are eating up, you know, butter sticks of crap, so let's just keep feeding it to them. Then they got pretty damn clever. I will say the 5100 thing for a layman, it was just hilarious. And just, man, when these people are biting on this ridiculous crap, it must be the most elating thing and the most depressing thing all at the same time. Whoever this 17 dude was must have been laughing their asses off and crying at the same time that, wow, it didn't take much to get a lot of people on this bandwagon and a lot of people hating other people. And if that didn't make sense, ask a friend. There was a rumor once, and it still goes around every once in a while, that some time in the past, I think some either geniuses or Jesuit priests or something created this fringe machine, which from the television show Fringe, where it was a frame that you could look through at the church, at the Vatican. And this thing allows you to look into the past, but also allows you to look in the future. Gotta always say the future, because then it becomes this dangerous weapon that we have to fear. We have to hate the people that have it, you know, or be careful, make sure they're good people. How would one peer into the past through a frame? Even if you had all the infinite energy that you could possibly manifest, you could create a gravity well even. Remember the whole thing about where the Earth is in the universe? If it's a flat Earth and somehow not moving anywhere, then I guess this is much more plausible. But you'd have to be tapping into that fabric. You'd have to tap into the version control system to say, I'd like to see the year 1600 BC, please, at the Egyptian pyramids in Giza. I'd like to see what Rome looks like in 0 AD. So somehow it's going to have to funnel this XYZ in the universe to this frame so that you could view what's there. And what is viewing in general, anyway? I mean, how do you see things? Well, you use your eyeballs, right? Photonic waves of energy, these transverse waves, or maybe scalar waves, that come at your eye. Particles aren't traveling into your eye, they're vibrating the current fabric inside your eye to hit the rods and the cones in the back of your eye so you can see things. So this device that would be in the basement would somehow have to capture legacy vibrations from the past, and I mean way, way back there, and get them into your eyeball through this frame. You have to, I wonder what the aspect ratio is on that screen. And then what is that screen made out of, right? I mean, let's look at what we've got in modern day viewing mechanisms. We've got projectors that would project light on a wall and then photonic waves would bounce off the wall and go in your eye. We had phosphorus gun screens that would literally paint it with phosphorus guns on a phosphorus interior. Cathode ray tube, I should say. Okay, so that's pretty much beaming them straight into your eye. Now we get LED screens. There's different versions of LED, OLED, all that kind of stuff, but it's still just creating a little photonic burp off of a diode so you could see it. So what is this frame and the Vatican made out of? And it's made of, like, a really long time ago, they said. They had it for a really long time. Well, how does one capture a wave? If I'm looking at you, technically speaking, photonic waves are bouncing off you and bouncing into my little radar dishes, which are the little holes in the side of my skull. They focus it all the way down to my retina. Rods and cones get pushed and pulled, and then I get to see you. But my head is actually technically caught a whole bunch of those waves. And I don't know about you, but I can't see past your head. Your face is stopping any of my vision from going behind you. So I can't see behind you. I can only see you. So if you had this frame in the Vatican, and it's operating at some point in the past or even the future. I mean, I know Walter could totally explain this, but we don't have him right now. Wouldn't there be a frame missing in mid-flight, like the door in Time Bandits? Wouldn't it be just a void missing from wherever the hell you're looking? Like wherever the camera is, there'd be a void because it would be absorbing the photonic energy, bouncing into that receptor that's somehow physically not really there, and getting it to the person watching it. Or is it truly some theory? Is it an electromagnetic window that literally punches a Einstein-Rosenbridge hole to the past? Again, wherever this shit's being stored at some point, because they never get rid of the past. It's always in some hard drive somewhere. So it's punching in. And then if you really just looked up and you're a caveman and you're being viewed by the Pope, if the caveman just turned up and looked wherever that thing is, they'd see the Pope and some Jesuit priests stare at them through this little hole. And then would they think that's a god? You know, who knows? How much energy would it take to manipulate that many layers of existence? I would wager that the sheer mathematics of it exceed all of the energy available in our current cosmology, that is the mass energy exchange of ethereal existence. How could you punch through multiple universes with simply having the finite supply of the current universe you're in? Right? You'd have to get them all to cooperate. All those universes would have to carry that little hole all the way through. So every single universe between the frame that's dictating the original punch through and the one that you're getting to would all be disturbed in the same exact way. There was the Project Looking Glass thing that went around inside the 17 movement. What it was is an AI, a predictive model. It was a Philip K. Dick, you know, Minority Report sort of thing that I'm sure they can create for various predictions that they need to make. It's all human beings telling these AIs what to do. AIs have no conception of what it's like to be human or what are the relevant elements to a human being. But what did it turn into in the 17 movement? I don't even think that dude said much about it being anything related to time travel whatsoever, but boy, they took it there, didn't they? And again, why was it so easy to take it there from the people that were really into that movement? Because feeding themselves bullshit was the name of the game in the first place. Now, is there some truth in it? Of course. There's facts that the dude wanted us to read from other places. Facts with flying quotes, of course. All right. I'm going to take it to a cerebral level here because I got a little bit of time on my stick here, and I really want to get at more of the fundamental cause of why we want to believe in time travel in general. But I'm going to use a non-time travel example to get to the back to the point. I don't think this is hugely profound to you, but I want to bring you into awareness of this, just in case you haven't seen this blatantly. I believe that if you can hear my voice, you have sensed this very blatantly, but you may not have been able to put it into words. Let me help you out if that's the case. We have this beautiful thing called the internet. It's gorgeous. It's an amazing thing. The problem is we also have a bunch of evil motherfuckers in the universe, don't we? And so they have taken this beautiful thing and immediately perverted it. And I don't just mean things that are classically perverted, but information itself got perverted. What is true and what is false. But there's multiple layers to that, right? Because before the internet, we had books and magazines and rumors that were still doing this because we all like being entertained. But we weren't ever really making a distinction between entertainment and fact, because we like that mezzanine of, you know, is that true? Oh, I don't know, right? You know, it sounds like a bunch of bullshit, but man, if that was real, that'd be cool. And as long as you, again, keep that in an entertainment package, go for it. Enjoy it. It's when you can't keep it in an entertainment package because you need it to be true to some degree that you start harming yourself. Potentially. If you're smart, you know how to sift through stuff, okay? But we all get had. I get had. But let's say there was no incredible perversion yet. We take all that gaslighting and triggering off the system. What is true is mostly true, and what is false is mostly false within relative perspective of what is true and false in the first place. Okay. The one thing that is really exposed are all of these incredibly bad mental illnesses, and I don't mean the classic ones that we're beating up today about what you think you are and that kind of stuff, but just interesting eventualities for human beings. People who get themselves isolated because they disengage from reality, whether they were abused or they're just, you know, they unfortunately didn't have a chain of events occur, or perhaps they felt accepted or something, and then they crawl into a hole. I just recently had a conversation with someone who I believe is in her 40s, and just getting to know this person. This person's an artist. I was very impressed with the art. And the conversation was really cool and entertaining up to a point, and then it went to a completely bizarre, almost infantile conversation where this person crawled up into a ball inside this conversation because she had heard something that triggered her, right? And it was like, well, I don't even know if I could be your friend anymore. And, so she was trying to manipulate me through the phone. And it really, I was like, was this really happening? Like, this is really strange. The conversation has been very normal. I've been chatting with this person for a few months about the artwork and trying to figure out, you know, how do you create this? Because I do similar things, but you do a little different than me kind of thing. And then within just a flash, it went really bad, really weird. I couldn't even stay on the conversation. This 40-year-old person turned into like a 7-year-old. It was unbelievable. And I literally had to hang up the phone. I was just, I just said, have a good day, man. Poof. Because it was like, holy shit. This person is mentally fucking wrecked and is able to impersonate a sane human being up to a point where they get triggered into this weird, super bizarre, almost different personality. And when I played back the conversation, this person had told me that everyone in her family was less than her at one point. Beating up everybody in the family. Everyone's all screwed up, but me. I'm fucking great, right? And at the end of the call, I was like, oh my God, this is the insane person in the family. Like, you can't even believe anything this woman says because there was this bizarre need to be the superior one in the conversation. And once she had attacked everybody on the phone call and there wasn't anyone left to attack, she started triggering off bizarre shit that she was trying to say that I said to her. The reason why I mention that is there's a ton of these folks out there. I don't mean to offend anyone because this isn't the case for all people. This may even be a minority situation. But some people are unable to fully develop as adults unless they have raised children. Because when you raise a child, you get your ass kicked. You learn that being a good parent means that you're not always the most popular person in their life. Again, my writing mentor told me one of the most amazing, brilliant fucking things I'd ever heard. And he was just riffing to the point. I mentioned it to him about a year later. He goes, I said that? I'm like, fuck yeah, you did, dumbass. It's the most brilliant thing I've heard in a long time. You don't remember? But he said, you know, there was a point when he told his son, he said to his son, he goes, look, I'm not your best friend. I'm not your buddy. I'm your father. I'm way better than any of that shit. And why? Because I'll always stand next to you no matter what. I'll always love you no matter what. And your friends are going to come and they're going to go. They're going to have varying levels of integrity for your well-being. But a father and a mother, they have to have it 100% if they're doing their job. Now, of course, we have shitty parents in the world. I get it. And I thought that was utterly brilliant. But that also means you're not the best friend worrying about whether or not you're fucking popular with your kid. If your kid's running off and getting into drugs and you just like they're one fucking toke of weed away from doing meth and they're manipulating the situation with you and when they find all the little buzzwords, they can say, well, you know, I'm depressed. I need this stuff. Okay, well, you're on your way out, kid. You go ahead and manipulate everybody but me because I'm not putting up with this shit. You're full of shit. You should knock that shit off. And get back to school and do what you need to do to get what you want in life. I'm not telling you what you should have in life. You should tell yourself what you dig. Right? So that's another thing I've noticed. But the internet has just revealed all of this bizarre polarity of weirdness in people. The people that have to tell you that somebody died online. That's just amazing. I got a family member who just cannot wait to tell you somebody died. Whether we have any like deep association with this person or not, like a celebrity or somebody. Someone you don't even fucking know. Oh yeah, that's the extra from fucking LA Confidential. Who, you know, hey, I feel for the family and stuff, but I don't need to know every human being that dies on the planet, right? Other people that simply post online to tell you that their life is better than yours. Huge fucking slice of people. Everyone's impersonating people now, right? You know? The persona has become the character, right? That of which you pretend to be is trying to become the thing that you are. But since those two concepts are diametrically opposed from ever combining, it's a fruitless thing. And this whole time travel thing and things like time travel is pure escapism if you're trying to take it super serious. This idea that 45 had a fucking time machine that he was reading to make sure all this stuff was going to work out, right? How's it working out, guys? It ain't working out that great, is it, right? And the only one that can make the affect the big change is us. And we're so fucking messed up online and at each other's throats for every conceivable metric on the psychological and physical level. We're not going to make it. We're not working together, nor can we work together. And if we are constantly feeding ourselves bullshit under the guise of entertainment without the cognitive thought, okay, this is just like me watching Tom Cruise in Edge of Tomorrow. Those aliens don't exist. He's not really resetting in time like Groundhog Day. This is a movie. I can see the set, I can see the makeup, I can see the CG artists in my head while I'm watching this movie. And man, they made a great freaking film. But at the end of the day, the credits roll that let me know that wasn't real. The credits literally are your moment of sanity at the end of any movie to understand those 300 to 500 people that roll across the back of a movie are the human beings that came together to pull together this fictitious image, sound, whatever it is, the writing, the acting, all that stuff to bring it together so you could enjoy yourself for a little while. Remember this too. Being right and being correct are two completely different things. Being right is a psychological victory over another human being. Being correct is that you have some sort of truth that you can explain to yourself or perhaps to another person. Truth and correctness could improve the world. Being right is like a dagger you stick in the eyeball of someone that you're trying to dominate. That is why on the internet, there's a giant swab of people just trying to be right. And they're the people that get all butthurt if you don't believe exactly what they believe. Now, having said all that, I will say that when I watch the Twilight Zones that allow for time travel, or any movie that does a really good job portraying time travel, I am right there, man. I am enjoying that beyond your wildest dreams. One of the best Twilight Zones is called Willoughby, which is kind of funny because I'm a Willoughby. About three generations up, I'm a Willoughby with one of the spellings. But have you ever heard that, you know, there's more cathartic emotion in the moments just before two lips touch each other in a kiss than the actual kiss itself? Because the anticipation is built up in your chest. You're getting really, really close to that thing you want to have happen. But the second you kiss, even though you do have a separate explosion of emotion and satisfaction, nothing can describe that moment just before your first kiss with the person you love, right? Willoughby is like that moment. You do technically get kind of a kiss at the end of the episode, but it's about a dude. We got some time left. Why not go for it? It's about a dude who's working this intense job at a marketing agency. And this is where you get the old man that says, there's two episodes that say it, I think, but this old man runs this place and he's a crotchety old bastard. And this guy's a nice young marketing executive. And he's just having a hell of a time living in the big city. He married this really materialistic woman. And his boss is always saying the phrase, push, push, push. Get it done, get it done. Well, he has to ride the train home every day. It's a modern train. It's great. But on one of these days where I think he called his wife and said, I just can't even take this anymore. I got to get the hell out of here. I think he almost told the old man to go, you know, fuck himself. And he rides this train home to his wife. But on the train, he falls asleep. And then he wakes up in the train. And it's just like Westworld. He's on an old 1800s train. And this old man is asking for his ticket. And he's like, where am I? You know? And the old man says, we're at Willoughby. He looks outside and it's like the 1800s and it's a small little town. It's like between Jersey and New York or something like that, if I remember it right. Something like that. So he pops out and talks to his wife about, you know, maybe I'm not cut out for this. And of course, she calls him a loser. Keeps going back to work, keeps hating it. Keeps riding the bus home or the train home and he keeps seeing this thing out the window. And one point he almost gets out of the damn car. But he screws around a little too long and it takes off and he ends up back inside where the other guy's saying, hey, you need to get off the bus, dude. You're at the train, you know, you're falling asleep. The last moment of this episode, the dude gets off. And he's gone back in time. It looks like 100 years at least, right? Probably 1960s to 1860s. And it's this beautiful little tiny town, wherever it is. And I think his clothes have even changed, I think. I get it, man. I got to grow up in a really great era of the United States. My hometown was amazing when I was young. Not to say it doesn't have new things today. But yeah, going back and grabbing those old moments, it's alluring as hell to do that. But I wake up, I don't know about you, I wake up every day in this reality here, this now thing that's going on. And who knows what's going to happen in the future. Could be absolutely beyond awful. And then there's sort of an nihilistic way to look at that, to say, well, let's just have a good time until there's no more food or electricity, and then we'll just find a way to you know, embrace the end. Or you could say, well, my family had to fight in the Civil War, World War II, and they didn't want to do that necessarily. I mean, they did it because they were doing it for their country. And for the way that we live our lives. And now it's an asymmetrical war. So we do what we can do to increase the consciousness of man, to sift through the bullshit and kind of go, okay, I know you're entertaining yourself a lot here, but is that the most important thing going on right now? I mean, if it's your oasis of entertainment, totally get it. Totally get it. Let's just make sure we understand the difference between the two as we live every moment of the now. If reminiscing about the past, as I've suggested we do from time to time, is like a medicine, then go for it, man. Play your favorite music from the past. Maybe sift through some old photographs. Maybe just sit and meditate and think about people that have passed in your family and friend circles that were awesome. Honor them. talk to them, pray to them, whatever. Just keep it in perspective and understand that once those moments have concluded, that hopefully it's re-energized you to deal with what's going on right this very second. There's that old saying, you know, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. I think that man enjoys, on one level, being really stupid. And I don't even mean that as an insult. I think we like magic that we know is not magic, right? I got a friend of mine who's an amazing magician. He does that close coin work, right? He rolls his sleeves all the way up to here, right? Right on his triceps and biceps, and he will pull gigantic coins out of somewhere. Well, it's pretty awesome when your uncle pulled that quarter from behind your ear, or someone made you think when you were really, really, really young, they stole your nose for a split second. Oh, not awesome. I mean, it's just like, hey, man, we want to believe that. I mean, there's some people that are like, okay, I fear the military-industrial complex, but man, I do want to know if they got UFOs, and I do want to know if they've got teleportation, time travel, and something else. They've gone to foreign planets, talked to aliens, all that stuff. It's just alluring as hell. That's why, you know, was it the Sci-Fi Channel had a platform to bring things to you. History's mysteries. And then you find out that Stonehenge was pretty much erected in 1954, 1955. And you're like, okay, did that feel good? Did that feel good that that thing really wasn't what they said it was? I just found some new photographs. Looks like, you know, a ton of these rocks were completely fabricated, meaning you're talking about, I mean, I should have done the math on that in general. It's right in front of my face the entire time. But you're talking about at least a third of the rocks at Stonehenge were completely synthesized in that rebuild. Does it feel cool once you study paleontology and you realize that all these dinosaurs are completely bullshit? Does it feel awesome when you find out we didn't go to the moon and now we can't go back because they've created such a huge lie there that to go back is going to expose the lie because the place won't look anything like what they said it looked like? You realize we just can't go there. If it's really there, let's just say, and it's the, what we think it is, right? We can't go there because it will prove we didn't go there. How awesome does that feel? Does that feel awesome? Or does that feel like shit? And some of those are involuntarily done to us. We're taught dinosaurs were real. And if you think they're real, go look up my episode. This is not a joke. Once you find out the sheer scam artists that created dinosaurs, the first two guys that went for 40 years creating all these fake dinosaurs, you'll feel like an idiot. When you see the 110 photographs of the building Stonehenge in front of all the people of England and they all went along with it, you'll feel stupid. If you like this channel, you probably already tapped into all the moon episodes. But those were, if depending on how old you are, you inherited a lot of those. And now new ones are dropping right in front of us, and we're rushing to the buffet to get a second helping. Because we've allowed this reality to turn into kind of a squatted hole. And we don't know how to fix it. We know we have to have cooperation and participation with other people. And they don't seem to be interested in any major number until perhaps maybe suffering becomes so profound that they feel like they need to make change. So by the time their belly's empty, they're feral, maybe they're being attacked by some other technology so they can't even operate. I think the people that want to do the reset to the world have got it all locked in. I really, really do. It will take literally a miracle of people that we have enabled to do such things, not the average citizen, to put a dent in their plan. Are we all time travelers? Hell yeah. I just time traveled, to me, about an hour and 50 minutes. So if it's shorter than that, that's how much time I've had to cut out of just pauses and what have you. If you haven't been to deepthoughtsradio.com, please go to enhance your mind, but definitely get into all the comments too on all the social media stuff that's out there, especially the YouTube comments, which as much as I hate that fucking place, Rumble's starting to get some good comments. BitChute is actually still way ahead of Rumble. I want to remind you, too, for those of you who get accounts on Rumble, if you could do us a solid, there's a little boxing glove that you can thumb up. That's what they have on it. And what you do is you just thumb up all the videos on Rumble, and that becomes a big, gigantic count number that everybody sees on Rumble. So instead of how many views your whole channel has had, obviously, if you can rumble a video, meaning click that little button, you've seen it, right? And so even if you're an old school person and you're like, I've seen all your videos, just subscribe to the channel and then you can walk totally up the channel. Just keep scrolling your phone and just keep hitting those little rumble boxing gloves. A couple of you did it. I super appreciate it. We're like 3,140 at this point. I assure you, if we get that to 30,000, 50,000, it will draw people in to discover what we've got going here. And again, because you participate in the overall consciousness through your comments, this isn't just a me party. This is an us party. Okay. The website's got everything. I'll leave it there. There is a store there. And for those of you who come through your PayPal and Patreon, thank you so much. You make it happen. Take care of yourself and someone else, and I'll see you in the next Deep Thoughts. Over and out.